say this with all the sincerity that a human being can muster. This sucks.
Sucks a lot.
Sucks real bad.
Sucks huge. Sucks huge one.
Sucks horribly.
Sucks a big old huge one.
This sucks. This is sucky. This is the suckiest bunch of sucks that ever sucked.
Yeah. I feel like the suck twins right now.
I feel bad. I don't want to call them that. But this sucks. I don't know if we've...
Hi!
Hello! Hi, welcome into this week's episode of the Purple Dinosaur Podcast. I'm Tyler Mullen.
And I'm Anthony Masterson. We are the Suck Twins.
We are. Whoo boy, this is, man. Yeah.
I've just been repeating over and over again, like, it's only 13 games. It's only 13 games.
Yeah.
13,
10. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know, man. I can't really wrap my mind around this right now. This is the latest episode of the Purple Dinosaur Podcast, in which we discuss Colorado Rockies baseball. The Colorado Rockies are 3-10 as we open this week's show. They are coming off of a 1-0 loss last night to the San Francisco Giants. This is quite bad.
This is... no hyperbole, and I hate using hyperbole, especially after only 13 games. The season's 2 weeks old. This is the worst stretch of Colorado Rockies baseball they have ever played in their entire existence.
Yeah.
They have had a lead for one half inning over the last 11 games.
And that half inning.
A lead
was the
for
bottom
one half inning.
The bottom of the 11th at Tampa in a 1-0 win over the Tampa Bay Rays.
How do you get worse than having a lead for one half of an inning over 11 games? Well, Anthony, you could have no lead at all in 11 games. Okay, I got it.
Yep.
Like, yep. It's fine.
Yep.
They have lost 10 of their last 11, and the games have not even been competitive.
No,
they are 3-10. They have lost 6 straight as we record this podcast on Friday afternoon / evening. We are bi-coastal for this Purple Dinosaur podcast.
Bi-coastal curious.
Yes, we are bi-curious and coastal. their run differential is minus 32, which is tied with the Baltimore Orioles for the worst in baseball. They are not even recording hard outs. They have the lowest average exit velocity of any team in baseball. They are not hitting the ball hard in the slightest. Nolan Arenado is ranked 177th in average exit velocity in all of baseball. Charlie Blackmon is 182nd. Yes, that is behind even Ian Desmond. It has been an absolute trash start. Throw this entire 2019 season in the garbage.
This has been a disaster, and I think I agree with you in your assessment that it is the worst stretch in franchise history, because every other bad stretch in franchise history, like, you could look back and be like, oh man, look at that 2007 streak that they had in June and July when they lost like 10
out of 11. Blowing all those games.
The 2012 season, the 2014 season, whatever. All of those teams, with the exception of the 07 team, but even the 07 team up until the end, most of the teams in Rockies franchise history have been bad teams.
Yeah, but there was no expectation.
Exactly, and that's the difference. This is a team that came into this season with World Series expectations. This is a team that came in with, you know, Dodgers are going to be tough, but really feel like this is the year they could win a division. This is a team that has made the playoffs in back-to-back years for the first time in franchise history, and this is the worst stretch of baseball. They've lost 10 of 11 games since the first 2 days of the season finished up, where they looked like a really good team. Then Daniel Murphy got hurt ahead of Game 3. They have now lost 10 of 11 games without that dude in the lineup. And
whether it was his fault or not.
Right, you know? Right. Yeah. Can't account for injuries and whatever, but it's, you know, a pretty terrible coincidence that they lose one cog out of their lineup, and now this is what has come from it. Right. And this is bad, man. It's I generally try to at least have some reasons for optimism, but this is like an episode of the long-form Vice show on HBO where it's like, I don't even know how to end this on a positive note.
Well, I mean, and you can tell that the entire organization is just like reeling right now. We got yelled at on Twitter by @Rockies for making a joke about how your love, the song by The Outfield, is Charlie Blackman's walk-up song, but how that song sucks.
Yeah.
And like, listen, yeah. as a walk-up song, whatever, it's like Spilly's Sweet Escape. Like, it's not a good song, but like, it works for a walk-up song, and that's fine. Whatever. Right.
And Charlie Blackman's like a self-created brand. He gave himself the nickname Chuck Nasty, grew out the beard. Like, he's created this aura about him. That's fine. But like, we're trying to have a little fun joke around about this Twitter bracket. We get like dragged by @Rockies on Twitter, which was just so surprising. And I think you put it very well when we were talking the other day. Like, I think we were just the straw that broke the camel's back, because I cannot fathom that it's been very fun to be in those mentions the last couple days. It just shows you how tense and anxiety ridden everybody in any connection with this organization is right now.
Yes,
it's awful. This is awful.
And what the worst part about it is, because we talked about this a little bit before we actually got on the started recording today, the worst thing you can possibly have for a team in terms of like as a fan is expectation.
Yeah,
because when you have expectation, there's a level of success that you have to hit. Otherwise, you feel awful. Like, the worst thing as a fan you can do is – or you could feel is, like, your team choked. Because you feel like it was right there, and they just didn't have the balls to go after it. You know, like, we remember September 2010 so vividly because the team was on a great stretch. They made the playoffs 2 out of 3 years. You know, they were well in line for a playoff spot September of 2010, had it pretty much wrapped up, and then – lost, like, what, 10 of the last 11 games or whatever, like, and choked a playoff spot. We remember that so well because of that. Like, the Nuggets are the number 2 seed in the Western Conference right now. If they don't win at least a series in the playoffs, that's going to be seen as a disappointment by a lot of people. The worst thing you can have as a fan is expectation, because you have to hit at least a certain level. Otherwise, the season feels like a waste. Even last year, when they made the playoffs in 2017, you thought, oh, it could have been a little bit of a fluky thing. But then they came back the next, like, the following season and had an even better campaign.
Yeah.
And followed that up and won the wild card game on the road at Wrigley Field.
Yep.
Made the LDS. You think, okay, we took the next step. We brought back pretty much the same team. Think guys can make the next step in terms of their progression as big leaguers. You brought in Daniel Murphy. We've talked about that a lot. Not a great guy. Pretty good hitter for this baseball team. That's fine.
Yeah.
The team seems to be in better shape. The Dodgers are a little bit down. Kershaw's hurt. Who knows what they're going to be? The Padres are a year away. The Giants and D-backs are rebuilding. It's the Rockies' time. The worst part was they got their first Sunday night baseball game at Coors Field in 18 years and just let one rip for like 3.5 hours.
Yeah.
It was awful. And the worst part about that is you could tell, because every time you watch Sunday Night Baseball, this is how ESPN does baseball. They try to shoehorn topics into every single inning, no matter what the game is going on. Like it or not, they try to make sure they can cover all what's going on in the game of baseball for those 9 innings, whatever they have to do. Just even if it doesn't make any sense with the game at all, make sure everyone knows what's going on in baseball. Doesn't really work well for a baseball game itself, but that's what they do. And you can tell that whole crew, the entire night, they had prepped so many things to talk about how the Rockies were going to take the next step, and it was finally their time to catch the Dodgers. They had so much pro Coors Field and pro Rockies content, and they got to use none of it.
Which would
because
have been
the
nice.
Rockies were not ready for prime.
Would have been nice.
Would have been awesome. Would have been awesome.
Because
you can tell they want to talk about the Rockies doing well so badly, and there was nothing there at all. Because this team has not been competitive for 2 weeks.
Yep. So there's that.
Yes.
God, man, I don't know. It's just, by the way, just to wrap up a previous topic, as we released in a brief tweet-sized press release yesterday, we will no longer be commenting on any Twitter brackets of any kind going forward.
Yeah,
so,
like, if @Rockies is yelling at us, like...
Which is the weirdest thing about it is, like, sometimes the Rockies will tweet out something and somebody will get way too serious in their mentions, and the Rockies will respond with, like, sorry for trying to have fun on Twitter.com. And then, like, they were those people to us yesterday. And I don't think that it's – I think it's just really, like, at some point it boils over when you have to be subjected to the mentions of, like – you know, losing 10 out of 11 games since opening day. I would imagine that gets super frustrating. But, like, we're, you know, trying to wade back in, have some fun with something, and then it turned into that. So, yeah, we're just done with all the brackets. All of them.
don't ask us about brackets anymore Twitter tournaments.
We're not gonna do that.
Yeah, done with that.
But I want to be able to say things of like, well, you know, here's something that you can look at, and at least that's a positive sign going forward. I don't know any of that right now. Like, they're pitching well. John Gray looked good again yesterday.
That's two pretty good in two starts.
Two really good starts out of his three. You know, and even in his third one, he was probably left in there a little too long in a game in which they obviously were not going to score runs, which has been every day. So the encouraging signs, I guess, are on the pitching side still, but none of that's going to matter when you don't score runs. That's what it comes down to.
Yeah, and the Rockies, not scoring runs, but they were second in the National League in runs last year.
Yeah. Yeah.
They don't have any problem scoring runs.
Yeah. Yeah, but they do, evidently. That's the real issue here.
They've scored one or fewer runs in six of their 13 games. They have scored one or fewer runs in nearly half of their games this year.
That is unbelievable.
What is happening?
Unbelievable. And it's, I don't know, man. They right now look like a team that, I mean, they look like they've promoted the Asheville Tourists to try to hang in there as an offensive lineup in the major leagues. That's how the Tourists are playing well, though. Yeah. Yeah. It's, you know, and even the guys who you expect to be producing, I think right now are so overly stressed about how bad things are going that, you know, Nolan Arenado's, like, his overall number is not terrible. Charlie Blackman's overall number is not terrible. But
they're not good.
They're not good. And they're not what they need to be in order to even give a semblance of competency to this offense. And when you're filling around them, and again, you cannot account for injuries, but what we've discussed over the last couple of years of this podcast, and I will shoulder this blame, we've talked a lot about depth and how the Rockies have depth in the organization. They've got just starting pitching depth, and they've got, you know, middle infield depth, for example, we've talked about a lot with Garrett Hampson, with Brendan Rodgers, mm-hmm. and Ryan McMahon and all that. There is now a parsing of the depth conversation, which I think is necessary, which is that the Rockies do have that depth. That is organizational depth. Where the Rockies have been exposed is they have no major league depth. The corner infield spot, for example, they do have depth at those spots in the organization. They've got Tyler Nevin and they've got Colton Welker, and they're at Double A Hartford. They've got Grant Levine down the ladder. He's a Class A Asheville. Those guys who could be future first baseman, third baseman, they're not ready. They're not major league ready. That is organizational depth. At the major league level, the Rockies don't have any of that. So you lose not only your primary starter at first base in Daniel Murphy on the third day of the season, then you lose your backup at first base right. in Ryan McMahon. So now you've got to call up a guy in Josh Fuentes, who is a great story. I love Josh Fuentes' story. He's the Pacific Coast League MVP, a great guy by all accounts.
Nolan's cousin.
Ass off. He's yeah. Nolan's cousin. Terrific season last year. A guy who was so cool getting a chance to be there for his first major league at bat. But Josh Fuentes right now is a guy who, if he's going to be on your major league roster, he should be playing one out of every 4 days and getting himself acclimated to the major league life as a hitter and as a player, whatever. When you have to run guys like that out there every single day, it's you know, not great, Bob.
And Pat Valleca is still there, and we've talked about this too. Like, Pat Valleca should not be in the big leagues. No. I mean, and it's not his fault that he keeps getting run out there. And
that's a real tough situation. We tweeted this out the other day. Like, Pat Valleca is a tremendously likable guy. I feel really bad for Pat Valleca that he keeps being put in this spot to just fall on his face as a major league player, because he's not a major league player right now and maybe never will be. Pat Valleca had one good season. It was great seeing that from him. But he has not been a major league player for the last 2 years, and he's been on a major league roster, and It's tough when a guy, especially a young guy, just continues to get thrown to the wolves like Pat Valaika has been for the last two seasons. That sucks. It sucks to watch it. It sucks watching a guy have the life sucked out of him that way. But Pat Valaika continues to be tossed out there. And, you know, now Garrett Hampson's gotten time in the outfield because David Dahl went down. Raimel Tapia's bat has started to come around a little bit, which has been good to see. But Hampson has struggled. David Dahl goes down, then Ian Desmond's got to be in the lineup every day. Ian Desmond has been a dumpster fire for the third straight season. This is such a pronounced lack of major league depth. That is what is killing this team right now.
Yeah. So we can talk about the best case scenario versus the worst case scenario that we had for the Rockies entering the season. Like, let's kind of segue into that. How about that? Let's say best case scenario coming into the season for the Rockies that we put on our purple colored glasses and we said, you know what? If this all happens, this team's going to be great. So let's start with the best case. Kyle Freeland, Herman Marquez take the next step. They were awesome last year. They become full-blown aces.
Yeah.
John Gray bounces back after a terrible year. He becomes that great third guy. They got a 1-3 in the rotation, second to none. Brian Shaw, Jake McGee bounce back in the back end of the bullpen. Wade Davis has a similar season to what he had last year. But if you get like Shaw and McGee having bounce back years to fulfill their contracts, you feel really good about that bullpen. Combine them with O and Scott Oberg, feel really good. Nolan has an MVP season, finally gets paid, has an MVP season. Trevor continues what he did last year. One of the two, McMahon or Hampson, come and prove that they're big leaguers every day.
Grab hold of an everyday job.
Yeah. Daniel Murphy hits his 50 doubles, whatever. The catching spot is not a total black hole. How about Dahl, healthy the whole season. Ian Desmond, halfway competent. Chuck goes, you know, is healthy and plays back to what he was a couple years ago. That's the best case scenario you had for the Rockies. Obviously, it's best case scenario. That and the rest of the NL West kind of falls down. The Dodgers are down. Maybe the Rockies can sneak by them, whatever. Worst case scenario, let's just say hypothetically, what would the worst case scenario have been for the Rockies? Let's start with the rotation. Freeland and Marquez regress.
Yep.
You know, they had great years last year, back a little bit. Not saying it has happened so far. They've had the last two starts they had were pretty bad, but Marquez was awesome his first two starts. Freeland was pretty good his first two starts. Well, that one's pushed for right now. McGee and Shaw bounce back. The bullpen has not really been an issue so far yet, really, but Shaw has been okay. McGee's already on the IL. That does not help. Wade Davis hasn't really even had an opportunity to see if he's been good or not. Who knows if Wade Davis is going to be any good. He's had no games to save.
Yep.
Okay.
Literally none. Literally zero save opportunities.
Right. So there. So the bullpen, those guys take a step back. Okay, that sucks. Ryan McMahon, Garrett Hampson, grab a spot. That really hasn't happened yet. McMahon's already on the IL. Hampson has had a terrible start to the year. I've got faith in Garrett Hampson. Obviously, I've been his biggest champion since he was at Long Beach State. He'll bounce back out of this. He has been very, very bad so far. Nolan is pressing out of his contract. That's a worst case scenario. He seems to want to hit a home run every time with nobody, a grand slam with nobody on base. That's his thing. Last night, he had a 3-0 count against Jeff Samardzija, throwing 88-mile-an-hour slop up there, and he popped out in foul territory to the catcher. Like, that's the sign of somebody that's really, really pressing.
Yeah.
David Dahl stays healthy. David Dahl got hurt, like, within the first week of the season. That is, again, not a surprising thing based on David Dahl's career, but he was the Rockies' best hitter by a lot at that point.
Yeah.
The Charlie Blackman and right field experiment gone well. Charlie Blackman in right field
has been a disaster.
A garbage fire.
Which is so
on,
that
on
to
national
me
television,
baffles me.
He dropped an easy pop up that would have ended the inning. Instead, 3 runs scored. He also had another error, ran over a ball in Sunday Night Baseball.
Hit by the pitcher, by the way. Who had not had a hit in the major leagues in 2 years.
And then last night, trying to come in for a liner, tried to slide, grab it, missed it, clanked off his knee and went to the corner. Like, it has been an abject disaster, him in right field so far.
Charlie Blackman, and we've been more critical than Charlie Blackman, I think, than probably anybody in the Rockies covering media, because I don't know. I just Charlie Blackmon, to me, when he was good, was tremendously overrated. And I'm not saying that as a shot at him, because I don't think it's a player's fault if he's overrated. But I think he was overvalued because of the aura that's been created around him. That he's the wacky right. guy with the beard, and he had a six-hit game on opening day once, and he hits a whole bunch of homers out of the leadoff spot and all that. Charlie Blackmon, as a defensive outfielder, on his best days, his best season, was like barely above average. Last year, he was, by a lot of metrics, the worst center fielder defensively in all of baseball. And the contract, we talked about it when they negotiated that extension with him. That, to me, was a bad decision, because he is a guy who's already on the other side of 30. His production has been declining for the last couple of seasons. Now, granted, I don't think it was in quite as stark of a decline when he signed the contract as it has been since.
And time waits for no man. I guess
exactly.
That,
and that's the thing. And that's not. That's why I'm not taking shots at Chuck. He's 31, 32, 33 years old. This is not a stretch of anybody's career where they get better, because it's not the late 90s anymore. Athletes right. don't get better after 30 or after their early 30s. It just doesn't happen if you're actually policing for performance enhancing drugs. So it's not Chuck's fault that he is an athlete who is on the other side of his physical peak. That's the way human beings are. But to give a guy like that 20 some million dollars a year for the next 4 or 5 years, that's concerning to me, especially in light of the fact that now he looks completely lost. It's like he wished a few seasons ago for a couple all-star appearances and to be great, and now the wish has expired, and he is a guy who looks like he's never had any business being in the major leagues. And that sucks. Like, he's a likable guy. He's somebody who's been such a stalwart in this lineup for the last couple seasons, but he, right now, they have to run him out there. They don't have any other options, but man, has that been rough to watch.
But you think, like, that was the worst case scenario of all those things that I had mentioned. Every single one of those things, health being paramount, is very important for any team. You've already got your starting first baseman, your backup first baseman, your eighth inning guy, your third man of the rotation. You've already got all those guys on the IL so far. Oh, yeah, and your starting left fielder.
Yep.
All those guys. Like, every single conceivable worst-case scenario, short of Nolan, like, having his legs fall off, has happened to the Rockies so far in the first 2 weeks of the season.
Yeah.
All the worst case scenarios. So on the plus side, you have to think that it can't get worse. And yet it seems every night they keep digging.
Yeah. Digging fast.
Jeff Samardzija did not have good stuff last night. He was barely hitting 91.
Yeah.
And he shut out the Rockies for 7 innings.
Yep. It's I don't know, man. When generally we are like the ringleaders for
calm down. It's fine. Like, it's
either that, or we're the ringleaders for like the oh man, everything is terrible and this is the worst thing ever, and we're the quickest ones to be the darkest on social media or on this podcast. But like right now, everybody is so dark that like we're trying to keep it somewhat upbeat. Maybe on this episode, if not so much on the tweets, but good God, it is difficult. They are 3-10.
Eat Arby's, man.
They are 3-10, and it's not a stretch of play where you think like, well, they'll snap out of it. Baseball cyclical. Eventually, they'll get back to. No, like I don't really see much right now in terms of light at the end of the tunnel.
But that's it, because
that's what's concerning.
The major league depth is not there.
Yeah,
I mean that's what it ends up being. Now do you panic right now and call up Brendan Rodgers?
No, I
don't know if that's the answer.
I
would hope not. He's having a pretty solid start to his year in AAA. But at the same time, do you really want to do that right away and make him be the savior? I don't think you want to do that right away for a team that's struggling the way that they are. I mean, Rodgers right now hitting 300, a couple of home runs to start the season in Albuquerque. That's great. You want him to keep hitting. That's awesome. Please keep doing that. Noel Cuevas having a great start to the year. We've seen him up. Is he the answer? Probably not. But you want it to be done by the guys that are there right now. The problem is it's not really the case.
Yeah. Yeah. Oof, boy. I don't know, man. I don't think Rodgers is the answer right now. I think you've sent the kid down to AAA. You know, at this stage, you might as well keep him down there until you can keep the extra year of team control. I also don't know if Brendan Rodgers right now is enough to get this team on track. You know, Ryan McMahon should theoretically be back relatively soon if he is getting over the injury. Like, his time on the IL is nearly up, is what I'm saying. David Dahl thought that he could be back in 5 days, but didn't want to keep the team down a man for that long. Now, that
no
being
big
said,
deal. Yeah, David Dahl, no big deal. I'm sure it's no big deal.
2 years ago, the stress reaction in his ribcage coming out of spring training was no big deal, and then he missed the entire season at the major league level. I think he ended up playing like 15 games in AAA. You can't really count on David Dahl anymore as a major league regular. I would love to, but his track record is just that he's not going to be able to stay healthy, and that sucks.
Staying healthy is a skill too, man.
He is one of the most exciting players that they have brought up talent-wise in the last decade, but if he can't stay on the field, what's it worth? Ryan McMahon has been really durable throughout his career. And that was a freak thing that got him injured, the collision at first base. So hopefully he'll be back from that relatively soon. He was hitting the ball pretty well. But beyond that, if you don't get those guys all back and all starting to surge at the same time, this is going to be a long year. And I don't think any of us counted on anything even resembling that coming into the season.
No. I mean, they have got one guy right now with an OPS over 700 in their active roster, and that's Trevor Story. He's 786. Like, and you know, that's what it comes down to. Like, there's nobody hitting the ball hard anywhere. They've been held without a well hit ball in a pair of games this year. Well hit ball is 95 miles an hour plus off the bat, launch angle between 3 and 45 degrees. That is a well hit ball. What is characterized as such? They had two games in Tampa where they had zero well hit balls. The last two games they have had four combined well hit balls. And tonight they faced Drew Pomeranz, who has never allowed an extra base hit against the Rockies. So I'm sure that'll be totally fine. I'm sure it'll be. And Chad Bettis is going tonight. I'm sure it'll be great.
What sucks is, like, this has even robbed me of the part of my brain that's like, well, you know, baseball's so weird. This will probably be the night where they go out and they put up 11 runs against Drew Pomeranz, because baseball's strange like that. I don't even believe that anymore.
And again, it's only 2 weeks. Like, the Dodgers have not pulled away. The Padres are in first place right now. The Rockies right now are, what, 6.5 back? Like,
and,
you know, like, you it's know, not it's not good. Or 5.5 back. Like, it's not good, obviously, but it's hardly insurmountable on April 12th.
You know? And that's the thing. And I guess that still ultimately is the lesson, is it is a six-month season. It is a marathon and not a sprint. It is April 12th. And if we are going to try to bring some type of optimism out of this, The Dodgers started last year 9-19. The Rockies did not get over 500 last year until July.
Yeah.
These things, all of the garbage
and they won 91
takes,
games.
They won 91 games. All the garbage takes of, you can't win a division in April, but you can sure lose it. No, you can't. No, you can't. The Minnesota Twins, you know, 10 years ago, 12 years ago, whatever it was, were 9.5 games back after the All-Star break in the American League Central, ended up winning that division by like 5 games. Like, it's not impossible in baseball. Do you have to have a couple of months where you go, you know, 25-4? Yeah, maybe. But stage, like, if the Rockies get everybody back and start getting into a role, I still think they're going to be fine. It's just right now that feels like the biggest wild card out there. Like, it doesn't seem – they have caught every bad break so far this season that a team can catch.
Well,
and it doesn't seem like it's going to stop. That's the worrisome
thing. And the reason why we saw this coming, the roster was constructed, not in a house of cards necessarily, but you saw the way it was constructed. Like, last year, Ian Desmond is still very, very bad at baseball. He is having a terrible, terrible year.
And that's the fans' fault, by the way.
Yes. Yeah,
that's the fault of you, the fan.
If you, the fan, Ian Desmond is bad. He has a 382 OPS.
Oh, my God. Oh my!
And he's not
God.
Even the worst guy on the team. He's having the worst regular. Hampson's got a 299 OPS.
But the other day somebody told us, like, well, Hampson and Tapia are awful. I'm not ready to count either one of those guys out. Because
you literally can't do that.
The same way you can't count out come Kevin up and Padlo. Right. Yeah. Well, and like the thing is, they still have youth and experience as two things that are potential upsides for them. Like Garrett Hampson has never been a major league regular. No. Garrett Hampson is going to be fine. I firmly believe Garrett Hampson has
never failed at any level of his entire baseball.
Exactly.
This is the worst he's ever played at any level, T-ball to now. Like,
right.
He's put up the same numbers every year. He'll be fine.
Rynel Tapia, I think if he continues to get out there, get into the flow of major league games, maybe that right now is actually one of the assets, is the fact that Rynel Tapia is going to get out there and get thrown into the lineup every day because they don't have any other friggin' options.
Yeah.
And Tapia, I think, he was struggling so badly early on in the season because he was getting in the lineup one time every 3 days, and he was trying to do everything. He was trying to hit grand slams with nobody on base.
Yeah.
You know, that's the baseball cliche. He was pressing so much to try to impress – to get himself more playing time, or at least to establish himself on the major league roster. Maybe right now, that's actually a good thing for the Rockies, that he's going to be put into the lineup every single day and can actually settle into something of a groove.
Yeah, should he hit second? Probably not. But then again, no one else is hitting either. So
what other options do they have right now? Yeah. So like those couple guys I'm not super worried about. Ian Desmond, like, we know who Ian Desmond is now.
Yeah,
this is no longer, you put it perfectly in a tweet the other day, a sample size is not small when it's 3 years. This is not, oh, Ian Desmond, he's starting slow. This is three straight seasons of extremely subpar major league play from the same guy.
He's been the same player for 3 years.
Yeah. And, you know, it was not his fault that he was not a good first baseman. Ian Desmond was not a first baseman. He was asked to do something impossible. Ah, it's not real hard. Tell him, Walsh. It's incredibly hard.
It's incredibly hard.
Playing first base in the major leagues is not an easy thing to do. And the fact that Ian Desmond got stuck with that was not his fault. But Ian Desmond has been a bad offensive player for now his third straight season. And it is time to call a spade and realize that Ian Desmond should not be an everyday major leaguer. However, they don't have anybody else.
Who are you going to put there?
Right,
that's
exactly
the problem.
That's the issue. So they are just, I mean, this really is, if you could draw up worst case scenario, yes, I get it that numbers wise 0-13 is worse than 3-10, but aside from that, I don't know how much worse this season could get yet.
No, I have no idea. I have no idea how it could get worse right now besides Nolan getting hurt.
Right. Oh my God. Don't even put it out there.
Right.
That's
like,
me
that's
furiously
it.
Knocking wood. I'm knocking all the wood surfaces around me. I'm in a hotel. Thankfully, there's a lot of them. So with that, we were discussing before we started recording. We used to do some more fun segments on this show. We used to, you know, get a little goofy and wacky and have some entertaining times. And then we just kind of stopped doing it because they started playing good baseball.
The team was good.
Yeah, we could just talk about that, which was great. But I decided, as they struggle this week, I want to bring in a new segment. And this is a segment that we've basically ripped off from our old pal Tom Lay at Deadspin, Denver area native Tom Lay, and he writes a thing every once in a while for Deadspin called "Let's Remember Some Guys," and it's just like a list of players who played a sport at one time, and that's it. So we're gonna do one called "Let's Remember Some Rockies," and without further ado,
dum, 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 dum.
Our newest segment. You got your list ready?
Sure.
Okay. How many are on your list? I'll limit mine to yours. We'll alternate. How many are on your list?
Megan Ashwell is, no, I just have the whole roster, like all-time roster in front of me.
You're going to pick some out? Okay,
I was
going to
pick
works.
Some random. Yeah,
I've
come
got,
on, man.
I've got 12 dudes listed right now that I picked out from my list. So without further ado, our new segment.
Let's remember some Rockies.
Let's remember some Rockies. Scott Aldred.
Ooh, one of the, at least not maybe not original Rocky, but early Rocky, because
very early. I think he was a 93.
He was a former Indian, I believe, as well.
Okay.
I believe so.
Okay.
Are we just gonna go like rapid fire?
Yeah,
what are we doing?
Yeah,
what are we doing?
Let's just alternate this.
How about Butch Husky?
Butch Husky.
Butch Husky.
A good one.
Butch Husky. He had a .348 in the year 2000. In 45 games.
And a name that feels like it came out of like a Tom Wolfe book. Butch Husky.
Butch Husky, the mountain man.
Scott Aldred, my first one. Brad Eldred, my second.
Ooh, Brad Eldred to Scott Ellerton.
That was my third. As a matter of fact, Lamar's own
Scott Ellerton.
One of the best names in the history of the franchise, Ryan Hoblitzel.
Oh, Ryan Hoblitzel. Supposed to be pretty good. He was not.
As you can say about anybody on the Rockies pitching staff from 1993 through 2017, basically.
Everyone remembers this one, Quentin McCracken.
Ah, Q.
Q. Q. Q was a career 291 hitter in 274 games for the Rockies from 95 to 97. I almost caught his very first major league home run ball. Really? I was in right field. It landed about like 10 feet to my right, and somebody grabbed it.
Huh. Interesting. Yeah. I thought that it's weird how your mind sometimes just doesn't have things correct. I would have figured that he had at least one season on the Mile High teams, but he was 95 to 97.
95, 97, I thought
he was a 94 guy. A dude who my buddy Travis Owen and I used to debate all the time about whether or not his delivery was a balk, Craig House.
Ah, yes.
Craig House used to
super hard, right?
Yeah, he used to throw like, and this is when nobody threw this, but he used to be like 97 to 99. But he would like jump off of the rubber, like his push-off.
Like
he would
Carter
like fly Capps. Forward. Yeah, basically like Carter Capps. And I believe they did eventually say that Carter Capps' delivery was a balk, correct?
Yes, they did.
Yeah, so yeah. Craig House was like the forerunner in the not good version.
And this another guy who was in a similar vein, who threw really hard before anyone really did. Juan Murillo.
Ah, Juan Murillo. Fireballing Juan Murillo, who I once
fireballing
saw
Juan Murillo
pitching for AA Reading in 2012, like 5 years after he made the majors. And I was like, what the hell is Juan Murillo doing back in AA? But he was like a reclamation project that never went anywhere.
I remember because I was, when he made his debut, I was studying abroad in Italy. And, you know, the hours difference is huge, obviously. But, like, I was checking, like, I was at an internet cafe at night, and it was a day game for the Rockies. He was making his debut. And I was like, oh, my God, Juan Murillo, he's finally pitching. He's finally there.
Yeah.
He's going to be awesome. Because this is right before, like, they had Juan Murillo, and they had Franklin Morales, and they had Faldo. This was 2006. It was like all these great big fireballing arms for the Rockies. Juan Murillo, I was like, he's going to be the best because he throws so hard.
Yeah, I was
Juan Murillo
too.
Threw six games for the Rockies, 8 2/3 innings, allowed 11 runs in 8 2/3
oh
innings.
Oh, my God.
It was never heard from again.
My God. That is what a sample size.
Yeah.
Guillermo Moscoso.
Oh, he was one of Dan O'Dowd's favorite players because Dan O'Dowd, that was when he was just compiling long relief men, like swing men.
Yeah, that was
that was 2012-ish, right?
Yeah, that was the four-man rotation, 75-pitch limit kind of thing.
He was good.
Yeah, that was
he had a 6.12 ERA.
That was great. That was pretty much the staff ERA with that team.
Yeah, right. By the way, I love I was reading some stuff on the Rockies coming into the game yesterday. It was like, oh, the Rockies have allowed 7 runs in 5 straight games for the first time since September of 2012. And I'm like, oh, that's good to be reminded of literally the worst season in Rockies history.
Lovely. Yeah. Awesome. Fantastic.
Cool. That's wonderful.
Great. Your turn? My turn?
I can take one. Chuck McElroy.
Ah, good glasses.
Yeah, great glasses. Yeah. He was one of the more effective Rockies relievers in the 98-99 campaigns. ERA just a little bit above 4, but struck out nearly a batter per inning did old Chuck McElroy. That was in the Blurnes Ball Coors Field days. So that's pretty impressive.
I remember the way Alan Roach used to announce like everybody's name from back in the day.
Chuck McElroy.
Yeah, that was him. This one I have no memory of. Mike Porzio.
Nah, nothing. I got nothing there.
Nothing at all.
None. None whatsoever.
Nope.
All right, moving on. How about old Rigo Beltran?
Ah, Rigo Beltran.
We know Rigo Beltran well from his days in the Carolina League.
Yeah.
He was a pitching coach for Lynchburg?
Yeah, I believe so.
When we were there, and when Lynchburg was a Pirates affiliate?
Yeah.
Rigo Beltran, also a Rocky Mountain guy. He was one of the last people to play college baseball at the University of Wyoming.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
2009, that would have been, I believe, with him. They were Pirates affiliate in 2009. Yeah.
Okay. Then, he was drafted out of UW in 1991. I believe they ended baseball there in 91 or 92. So he was one of the last guys to play baseball in
Did
Miami.
Did he play with Huey?
I believe he did, actually.
Ah. Did you know that Huey played with Nolan Ryan?
Did you know that he played with Cal Ripken?
Terry Shumpert.
Terry Shumpert, of course. Of course.
Yeah. Former Rocky. Terry Shumpert.
Good old Shumpy. Whatever happened to old Shumpy?
Oh, boy. Oh, God.
You killed him. A silo fell on him.
I got two more. Give me two more.
All right. Sorry, I was going to put down a Rigo Beltran hole. How about, let's go with the old Max Suzuki.
Ah, Mac. Max Suzuki. The Rockies traded Brent Main for Max Suzuki. And I remember thinking to myself,
Royals,
I'm pretty
right?
sure that Dan O'Dowd read about a good, it was 2001, pretty sure that he read about a good Suzuki in Major League Baseball and just decided to trade for one, and it wasn't the right one.
That was
Ichiro's debut season.
Let's just say he was the lesser Suzuki.
Yeah, he was not as good of a Suzuki.
He made three appearances for the Rockies, 6 1/3 innings, allowed 12 runs in 6 1/3 innings.
That was it? He made three appearances? They traded Brent Main for three appearances out of Max Suzuki?
He walked 11 batters in 6 1/3 innings.
Mother of God. Oh, my Lord. Ty Van Berkelio.
Oh, Ty Van Berkelio. He is now the hitting coach in Cleveland. Yeah.
Interesting. I didn't even realize this until yesterday. I was having a conversation with at the Susie Hunter and another guy at the Hartford Yard Goats game, and they said former Rockies first-round pick and current AA Hartford Yard Goat Tyler Nevin, his father, Phil Nevin, is the third base coach for the Yankees.
Yes, yeah.
I didn't realize. He used to be the manager of the AAA Reno Aces in the D-backs organization. I once had to interview him about a benches-clearing brawl in which he was involved as a manager.
Yeah.
But I was unaware.
There's a new home run champion of all time,
and it's Phil Nevin.
Nevin.
All right, one more. Give me one more.
Okay. Not former Wyoming Senator Alan Simpson, but relief pitcher Alan Simpson, 2004-2005, made 34 appearances at an ERA of just over 6. Just over 6. Just a touch over 6.
Pretty good.
Hey,
Pretty
he struck good. Out more than a batter per inning in 2004-2005, but no one was doing that, so good for him.
Last one I got, because his name would be the Bizarro World villainous version of my name. Last name only. Greg Zahn.
Ooh, yeah.
Greg,
it's like
with
you,
three G's. G-R-E-G-G.
You with another goatee. Yeah, then,
yeah, exactly. Me with a pointy goatee.
With two goatees.
And angry. Yeah exactly. Greg Zahn, former Rocky.
Greg Zahn just get fired by Rogers for making like inappropriate comments, Rogers Sportsnet?
Is yeah, that actually, Zahn? That does sound familiar.
Yeah.
Think about it.
Maybe he didn't get fired. He got disciplined or something.
Reprimanded something.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah. But
that was a fun little game, a little levity at the end of what was a terrible podcast.
Thanks for joining us on this edition of Let's Remember Some Rockies.
Yeah. That was fun.
All right, I guess there's not really much more to discuss with this team.
Nah, well, they were good.
But, yeah, you know, we'll be back with you next week. I'll be home next week, so we'll have, like, a normal show. And, hopefully there's some wins to talk about by that point. Hopefully.
Let's just pray.
All right.
Come on, Pontifex. Easter's coming up.
Yeah,
help us out.
Please. Give us a hand. All right. He's Anthony. I'm Tyler. We'll talk to you next week. Go Rocks. Love you. Bye.
Bye.